Pandemic Flea Market yang bakal berlangsung pada awal tahun ini di Sapura Mines menawarkan ruang-ruang booth kepada mereka yang ingin memaparkan produk dan barangan untuk dijual kepada orang ramai. Sekiranya anda berminat untuk menjual produk menarik maupun ingin mendalami idea-idea kreatif usahawan tempatan, daftar di ruangan contact us di sapuraproperty.com.my. Sapura, PROPERTY.com.my.
Korang tengah layan podcast Amans, bahagian dari jaringan podcast di Amans ni. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mat Peace.
Aku Yem.
Okey lah Yem, kita tahu boleh dikatakan sudah beberapa hari sebenarnya kita punya dunia digemparkan ataupun digegarkan dengan berita Russia ataupun Rusia invade ataupun memasuki Ukraine. Dan kita tahu banyak sebenarnya isu berkaitan perkara ni, banyak sebenarnya impak. Dan untuk episod podcast Aman sekali ni, aku dengan Jim akan sebenarnya berbincang tentang Rusia dan Ukraine dan juga bagaimana dia actually impact, memberi impak kepada kita. Walaupun memang secara geographically memang kita berada jauh dari konflik ini, namun sebenarnya banyak perkara ataupun isu yang boleh diperkatakan ataupun dipercakapkan dalam isu ini. Dan pertama sekali aku rasa kita semua, first of all, aku bukan foreign expert. Aku pun do a lot of reading dan juga mengikuti berita-berita terkini untuk mengetahui lebih tentang isu ini. Tapi apa yang aku dengan Yem nak buat adalah basically kita cuba bersembang and try to get to the bottom of exactly why this happened and what are the impacts. So kita mulakanlah dengan basically apa yang telah berlaku, Russia invade Ukraine dan kenapa Russian troops ini attack Ukraine. Aku rasa itu adalah persoalan pertama yang kita harus perjawabkan.
Okay, so seperti mana kita tahu, konflik ini dah bermula sejak cerainya USSR. Dia bukan story yang semalam baru buat.
Berdekat-dekat.
So, sejak berdekat-dekat. Dan apabila USSR dissolve, beberapa negara wujud dengan seadanya, seperti Georgia, Ukraine,
Poland,
all the stans, no, Poland wasn't in this one. I'm talking about Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, of the stans, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, all this.
Okay.
Dan bila kita tengok pergerakan NATO, iaitu Defense Alliance Western World, di antara France, Belgium, Germany, UK, US, Italy, all this, Poland, Denmark dan sebagainya, diorang slowly encroach towards Moscow punya border ataupun Russia punya border, including Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia. Dan selama ini memang kita tengok Ukraine pun dia cuba nak masuk NATO dan NATO pun nak masukkan Ukraine. Dan not only that, diorang nak masukkan Ukraine ke dalam EU. This basically threatens Moscow. Dan pada 2014, masa apa nama, pro-Russian PM was ousted from Ukraine, dan pro-Western politicians menang dekat Ukraine, it became inevitable that Moscow kena annex Crimea. Ada satu map, kalau kau type languages in Ukraine, dan dia akan tulis itu 70% berbahasa, bertutur dalam bahasa Ukrainian, dan 30% bertutur dalam bahasa Rusia. Yang tutur dalam bahasa Rusia tu adalah tiga wilayah, wilayah Crimea, wilayah Donbas dengan the basically eastern dengan southern lah.
Basically right? Donetsk and Luhansk.
Luhansk, yeah. So Luhansk, Donetsk, ada juga 2-3 cities macam Mariupol dengan Sevastopol dekat Crimea. They are all Russian speaking, and Russia just annexed the entire Crimea. And why are they doing this? Number one, of course, to preserve their boundaries. And number two is to ensure that the Western conflict continues to show that Russia has the upper hand. But more importantly, Russia now has warm seaports, the Sevastopol. Without this Sevastopol warm seaport, diorang tak ada warm seaport dekat tempat lain sebab the access to other ports macam dekat St. Petersburg dekat utara, Russia dengan other places macam dekat Arkhangelsk, ni semua dia akan beku bila winter. Dekat White Sea, dekat Barents Sea, dekat Kara Sea, all this will be frozen. So they need a warm seaport. And that makes sense kalau diorang move diorang punya navy dekat Sochi, which is on the south border of Russia, bordering Georgia dengan Sevastopol. Sebab diorang nak guna Black Sea, which is north of Turkey, dan gunakan pathway dekat Istanbul untuk move their entire fleet into the Sea of Marmara and later on Aegean Sea and of course Mediterranean Sea. So you see, this is an argument of geography, not just politics. And because of the fact that nobody went against Russia militarily sejak diorang annexed Crimea, this is just emboldening Putin to just push on further lah untuk conquer other parts of Ukraine. And for the longest of the months, a few months now, Vladimir Putin dah meletakkan beberapa ratus ribu soldiers on the border of Ukraine, on the eastern border of Ukraine. It just became common sense for them to eventually move into Luhansk and Donetsk 2 weeks ago, and then last week he just entered Ukraine lah. So as we do this taping of podcast, dia dah masuk dah the two big cities, which is quite sad if you ask me, because this is the first military
sedih
aggression.
Sedih untuk penduduk. Sedih untuk penduduk.
Yeah, sedih untuk penduduk. We are now reading reports yang diorang memang dah masuk dah bandar Kharkiv at the northeastern border. And soon enough, I think by the time we're done with this taping, diorang akan masuk Kiev lah, which is ibu kota Ukraine.
Basically, kalau kita tengok, actually dalam laporan-laporan media, sebenarnya diorang ada track troops Russia yang deployed and where, and you can see they are just closing in boleh kata structured and clear manner. They just going straight to Kiev, and you can see dia punya from all sides, and from Crimea ada, from Donbas region you said earlier, from Kharkiv semua, memang kalau kita lihat laporan-laporan media, dia banyak memberi fokus kepada apa yang Putin katakan, ataupun rather why the attack is to, I don't know, I've never actually heard this word before, this whole conflict, which is denazify, menyah Nazi. Aku tak tahulah ni, I don't know whether aku translate correctly, mungkin kawan-kawan kita di Amaz boleh check betul ke tak, but denazify Ukraine, and this is the very interesting argument that he made, Putin, because it consequently, actually, the president, the current president of Ukraine, which is Volodymyr Zelensky, is actually a Jewish. Based on what you're saying, there's an official reason, or rather, what is said to the public, what is used to convince a majority that this is the reason that they gunakan. But of course, there's the underlying reason which you say geographically. Geographically is a big thing, and this is practically why Russian troops have attacked Ukraine. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita akan sambung lagi. Cerita pasal Russia ni masih lagi panjang. But our next persoalan ialah kita nak tahu tentang berapa banyak Ukraine sebenarnya setakat ni dah Russia pegang. Kita berehat sebentar, kembali selepas ni.
Di Sapura Mines, majlis perkahwinan impian anda boleh menjadi nyata. Dewan Agam di Sapura Mines mampu memuatkan sehingga 2,000 jemputan. Besar atau kecil majlis idaman anda, Sapura Mines mampu merealisasikannya. kawasan parkir yang disediakan amat luas bagi menempatkan kesemua hadirin pada hari istimewa anda. Anda juga boleh memilih caterer pilihan bagi menepati cita rasa terkini. Untuk makluman lanjut, sila layari sapuraproperty.com.my, Sapura, P-R-O-P-E-R-T-Y.com.my.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku dan juga Yim. Ini merupakan episod yang berlainan sikit daripada episod-episod biasa kerana kita tahu isu yang hangat diperkatakan sekarang ni adalah of course invasion of Russia into Ukraine. Dan tadi sebelum kita berehat, aku dengan Yim telah sembang tentang kenapa Russian troops ataupun Russia telah attack Ukraine, dan sekarang kita nak tahu how much of Ukraine does Russia already control. So Yim, mungkin kau lebih familiar dengan geografi Russia ni, mungkin boleh cerita sikit.
Yeah, so as we speak right now, 28 Februari, dia dah masuk Kharkiv Utara, dah masuk Kiev Utara, dia dah masuk Luhansk dan Donetsk, wilayah belah timur. Crimea, dia dah masuk belah utara Crimea, di selatan Ukraine. Tak lama lagi dia akan masuk Odessa, bandar besar di Ukraine. Dan basically Kharkiv, Luhansk, Donetsk, Mariupol, Crimea, iaitu Sevastopol dengan Odessa dan Kiev, semua akan dah masuklah tentera Rusia. Tinggalkan Lviv je yang belah barat. But Lviv is very
far lah.
Inconsequential. Inconsequential to Russia. As we all know juga, Russia meletakkan tenteranya di utara Ukraine, di dalam Belarus. So imagine that lah. I mean, Belarus
pro-Russian
masuk tentera dia dekat negara dia to get into Ukraine. But you see, the implication is actually quite profound, sebab benda ni we know that NATO and US has been prodding Russia for the longest of time, and now Russia is not even retaliating. Russia is just for every effect there is a causation, and this is one of them where we see Russia just reacting towards what the Western world has done to them. And bila kau tengok yang gerakan di Ukraine dan juga di Russia sekarang berlaku, nothing is stopping, say for instance, China to attack Taiwan, or China to completely overwhelm Hong Kong for instance, not just politically but militarily. And then tu belum lagi China masuk belah barat dorang, iaitu di Nepal, Tibet, utara Bangladesh, utara India, dan timur Pakistan. Nothing is stopping them.
But I think China is taking a softer approach lah. They got everyone under the thumb.
No, I don't think so, because if you see Netflix punya movie The Edge of War, The Edge of War is set in 1937 where the conference of Germany with France and Britain is taking place to take over Czechoslovakia untuk luaskan dorang punya wilayah. They call it Sudetenland. It was so the implication was so profound where even Japan continued on with the march towards militarizing their army and eventually growing into other regions in Asia. It also set a good position of Italy conquering south north of Africa. This is the Edge of War version World War III. Why? Because while Russia is doing this to Ukraine, China is not stopping. Nobody can stop China right now if they enter Taiwan. Why is it that US tak nak retaliate and go to war, senang katalah, pergi perang dengan Ukraine? The answer is very simple. Russia has nuclear power. And there is this article written by The Guardian punya op-ed, which I urge siapa yang minat benda-benda ni boleh baca lah. This particular article by The Guardian. Because The Guardian punya author, Jonathan Friedland, highlighted that in the statements that came from Putin, many of them are unhinged lah. You're right, macam Nazi ke apa benda. Memang kelakar lah kata Nazi control Ukraine, sedangkan presiden diorang pun seorang Yahudi. But that's beside the point. The point yang Jonathan Friedland of The Guardian was writing was that while Putin was talking, you know, a bunch of stuff, one thing that stood out was that Russia is a nuclear power. Russia has nuclear warheads, and Russia is not going to talk about this item. Theoretically, they will use nuclear power if they are forced to do so. That's why US tak masuk campur lagi. That's why NATO semua tak masuk lagi, bro, dekat Ukraine. That's why there is no war, so to speak, in Ukraine. There is an invasion, there is an incursion, and there is an annexation, but there is no war.
Full scale lah. There's no full scale.
Full scale war between nations and nations. Why? Because it's going to be quite a problematic move if US masuk campur militarily. We're talking about a nuclear war, bro.
Yeah lah. And very devastating.
And we're talking deaths in the millions in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, yeah. And also the after, the aftermath, right? Radiation.
Yeah,
economy.
And also the math. Yeah, yeah. So as you can see, the war, there is a conflict right now in Ukraine because of Russia, but it doesn't stop the world from seeing the rest, real politics taking over. China and Taiwan is the clearest example. And then, of course, this further destabilizes other regions in the world. Dekat Africa, dekat Middle East, Israel, for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so devastated by this because it does have a global impact.
Towards, huh?
Yes, towards other countries that have been waiting in the wings for the longest of time to act. If not now, then when? That's why, macam kau cakap tadi, yeah, it seems like China is very delicate in approaching this matter. In fact, dalam undian UN Security Council yang dilakukan pada 26 Februari, Sabtu kemarin, dia bilang ada a lot of countries agreed that this is a violation of international law. One country voted no, which is Russia. Understandable. Diorang yang...
Boss sendiri.
But three countries abstain. So you can see a bunch of countries agree that this is wrong. One country agree that this is not wrong, which is Russia. But three countries abstain.
Choose not
of
to.
The three countries, choose not to agree or disagree lah. Yeah. Of two of the three countries is India and China.
Arguably, like, yeah, a global power lah. China is a superpower. Yes. India is quite significant as well.
Yes, yes. Because they too have ambitions to grow their territories. Because again, when people say geopolitics, people forget that it is a combination of two words, geography and politics. That's why aku urge engkau baca Tim Marshall punya buku. Tim Marshall punya buku, dia jual dekat a lot of places now. Masa aku beli hanya Kino aja ada. Kino dekat KLCC. Tim Marshall punya buku specifically talks about the geography of the geopolitics. It's a really good book because it really opened up my eyes in the sense that people talk about things as if there's no physicality of it. There is a physicality of it. There is physical.
Yeah.
We live in an age of information, in an age of attention economy, but we are not just living in the virtual world. We are living in the physical world juga, and physical world requires geography. And these countries, China, India, Israel, Russia, they need to expand their borders in order for them to remain relevant in today's world. And that's how sad it is.
And of course, they are highly ambitious as well. There's another aspect yang kita... I mean, there's another aspect that we need to be highlighting. But... there's still a lot to talk about sebenarnya. We'll take a short break. After this, kita akan sambung sembang tentang how this particular invasion, this attack by Russia on Ukraine impact Eropah. Kita berehat sekali lagi.
Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amanz.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Okay, kembali ke podcast Amanz bersama aku, Mark Peace dan juga Yem. Kita masih lagi on the topic of Russia invading Ukraine. Tapi kita, tadi kita dah cakap tentang why, the geopolitics of it and apa semua. Now actually is the impact time, is how will this impact Europe. And we can see just from the initial reactions from last week bila this thing actually took place, leaders from Europe, I think I would say is quite unanimous, senada dalam mengecam tindakan Putin. Tapi actually what does it do in the long run for Europe?
Okay, the longer implication of Europe is very 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 clear. That this is the war that they've been waiting for since World War II. Mm. Simple. They have been waiting for a war for over 70 years now. And what is important is that when Ukraine complete di bawah jajahan takluk Russia, what happens to the other countries within the realm of the old USSR? Mm. Kalau kau buka maps, tak kisahlah maps Google ke mana ke, maps Google lah better sebab maps Apple a bit tai, we all know this lah. Tu ada another story sebenarnya sebab, apa nama? Andy Forstall, very highly regarded Apple executive was fired because of Apple Maps.
Okay.
Yeah, sampai sekarang Forstall tak ada dekat Silicon Valley because, you know, he has been an outcast.
The reputation.
Anyway, the larger implication is this. The old USSR countries which are now independent, I'm talking about Kazakhstan in particular, because Kazakhstan share, I don't know, 3,000 kilometers worth of border dengan Russia.
Yeah.
All right, Kazakhstan, dia punya capital Nur Sultan, will play ball with Russia. Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, Georgia will now also play ball with Russia. Remember, Georgia and their capital Tbilisi, part of their territory was also annexed by Russia. Yeah, and remember, the big town of the big city of Sochi is bordering Georgia. That will also fall in line with Russia. You could also see in the eastern part of Russia, including that of Belarus, Lithuania, Latvia, dengan Estonia. Because right now there are four countries breaking up Russia, tau. Sebab Kaliningrad is part of Russia.
Okay.
And Kaliningrad is facing the Baltic Sea, but they are broken up by Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania and Belarus.
Okay.
And we know Belarus and their capital Minsk is already Russian friendly, but the three countries, Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania, with their capitals, you know,
they involve NATO, right? If I'm not mistaken.
They are. Right, Tallinn, Riga dengan Vilnius, ibu kota Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania concurrently. They are going to be part and parcel of this conversation with how Moscow is going to come into contact with them. And the most important place right now, the most important, young people don't normally talk about, or maybe they do but they don't understand the implication, is of course Poland. Because Poland, big towns, yeah, Krakow, Warsaw, Gdansk, Bialystok, Lublin. These are all eastern-facing cities of Belarus, Ukraine, Lithuania. They are all in direct line with Moscow. And Moscow needs to get to these places before they can get to Kaliningrad.
Okay.
They are going to have to come into contact with NATO countries, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And when that happens, bro, it is an all-out war between NATO and Russia. Why? Because NATO has a charter that says you attack any country of NATO,
we all will come.
Three musketeer, one for all for one.
Yeah, yeah.
So if or probably when Moscow goes into Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, it's as good as Russia invading Germany, Denmark, France, UK, Italy.
Do you see it happening in this decade? In this decade, yeah,
yes, I do see it. The question now is whether or not they want to fight Russia.
They want to fight,
or they just
but
lie
if,
down.
If NATO tak boleh buat apa lah. If NATO, US will be involved. If you attack a NATO, there's an Article 5 kan in the Charter of in NATO yang kata that. So you cannot really go back on that. But one thing ni aku nak saja add lah, background of Putin ni which aku rasa quite interesting is dia ex-KGB. Is it KGB or FSB? I don't know lah. But the
it's the same Russian intelligence
lah. He's a former Russian intelligence and he's the Cold War guy, right? He's he lives through what we call the glory of USSR, right? So I think maybe secretly or rather I'm not sure whether he's saying it out in the open. Tapi the apa tindakan yang diambil oleh Putin ni menunjukkan keinginan yang amat terhadap mewujudkan semula USSR in a new way or form. Of course, macam kita kata tadi, Belarus apa semua tu, maybe, I don't know, are all these countries subservient to him? Maybe. Maybe that's the aim. He wants to make sure...
Belarus, dia bagi askar masuk, bro. Dia dah bagi askar masuk untuk masuk negara Ukraine. You get me or not? That's why Russia and China right now, worth noting that the relations between China and Russia were poor for the past 30 years. But it is important to note that both of them are having a very warm relationship today. Okay, masa Putin attend the Winter Games opening dengan Xi Jinping, they were friendly, they were cordial. Many of their people were talking to each other for a long time. So that shows that they are warm again when it comes to relations. So if NATO and US is one block, one cannot argue or defeat the argument that Russia and China is going to be the other block. So it's good for us to bring in the conversation of where does Malaysia fit in all this?
Yes, definitely.
Because
Malaysia doesn't. Yeah. I mean, if you remember, the ambassador actually say something about the ambassador of Ukraine to Malaysia actually said, express for Malaysia to actually explicitly state Malaysia's stand. But before we delve further into that, we'll take a short break. Lepas ni kita sambung lagi, which is probably our last, I would say, segment for this Russian-Ukraine episode. Kita berehat sebentar.
Kopi. Nadi penggerak dunia moden hari ini. Kopi yang enak dan berkualiti menjadi pasangan sesuai bagi mana-mana majlis sosial maupun formal. Blue Dome Coffee menyajikan kopi Ramon khas dari biji kopi yang premium disediakan dengan rapi oleh barista-barista handalan bagi memastikan setiap hirupan istimewa tanpa bandingan. Kunjungi Instagram ataupun Facebook at Blue Dome Coffee untuk maklumat lanjut. Cari kami di at Blue Dome Coffee hari ini.
Okay, kembali ke Podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Piz dan juga Yem. Kita hari ini lain sikit daripada biasa. Kita bercakap tentang Russia-Ukraine ataupun isu Russia invading Ukraine. Dan tadi kita cakap tentang where Malaysia should stand ataupun where Malaysia is standing dalam konflik Russia-Ukraine ini. Even the ambassador from Ukraine to Malaysia telah menyatakan bahawa Malaysia should state a clearer stance on what this issue on this particular issue lah. Dan aku rasa Malaysia punya current stance is I think mengecam tindakan tu tak betul. I think thank you Captain Obvious. And that's pretty much basically it lah. Aku tak dengar lagi apa-apa yang lain daripada yang lain from our dear foreign minister.
Yeah. So speaking about Malaysian relations, the two things that I want to highlight that took place over the past few days. The first is the story that Hadi Azmi broke. Hadi is the Malaysian correspondent for SCMP, South China Morning Post. He wrote the story of how 8 Malaysian Wisma Putra people kind of like ran into Poland because of their planned escape. Can I use that word?
Yeah.
Botched? Did you read that story?
Yeah. I saw it.
Okay, Malaysia tak ada duta Ukraine lagi sebab belum dapat renew. Malawakil dekat sana adalah this lady, Fazilah, if I'm not mistaken her name. And she guided the 8 Malaysians out into safety into Poland. So far, tak ada lagi Malaysians yang reported to be in Ukraine. So the safety of every single Malaysian and their family members are safe for now. Okay. Itu satu. Dua adalah Russia Today, iaitu akhbar yang terbitkan, yang basically RTM version Russia, cakap this is not an invasion and don't use the word invasion. And this is the part where our Prime Minister was quoted as saying, this is not an invasion. So why is our Prime Minister using the narrative of RT? Aku tak tahu kenapa. And then having said that, the Prime Minister also takes a very soft stance when it comes to this incursion. So much so that Duta Ukraine di Malaysia dalam rancangan Breakfast Grill BFM mendesak kerajaan Malaysia untuk memberikan kata putus yang jelas sama ada kerajaan Malaysia sokong atau tidak suara Europe yang ingin condemn this move, because as of now Malaysia tak condemn the move. So that is the position of the Ismail Sabri government. Simple. Now the question is why? I don't know. I really don't know, because I think Malaysia has to take a position, and in the wisdom of the government, because remember Ismail Sabri doesn't work alone. He works in tandem with MINDEF. He works in tandem with Wisma Putra. And I think look, I don't like the Prime Minister, but that doesn't mean that I'm not behind the movement of the government taking any position. But if this is the position of the government, i.e. to back Russia, I think the stance has to be clearer. We cannot clear a soft stance.
Wishy-washy.
We cannot. Either we sokong atau tidak. Dan kalau kita sokong, kenapa? Dan kalau kita tidak sokong, kenapa?
No, even because if berkecuali pun, you need to clearly say, right? Berkecuali.
Yep. So that you can't be quiet on this. Yeah. Right? And that explanation has yet to come. Maybe this week we're going to see more explanation coming.
Sibuk Johor.
Maybe lah, but I think this is a world story lah. If Ismail Sabri wants to rise to be a world leader or at least somebody relevant in this part of the region, I think this is the only time that he needs to speak about this issue.
Betul.
For now, there's nothing coming out yet. Yeah. But I'm half expecting some form of clearer statements are going to come from the Malaysian government regarding this conflict this week. That's my expectations.
I mean, yeah, that's let's hope that takes place this week. And just before we close out this podcast ataupun kita end podcast berkenaan ni, kan? What do you think is the end game for Russia Ukraine? I know kita dah cakap sebelum ni tentang impian Putin untuk unite semula USSR and have all these countries answering to him or being close to him. But what do you think is the end game? What's going to happen to Ukraine in particular within this year, 2022?
Within this year, Ukraine will be a vassal state to Russia the way Belarus is to Russia. And because of that, NATO and US will be severely weakened because they don't have that buffer state of Ukraine to create that border between Russia and NATO. I think right now it is obviously or painstakingly clear that Ukraine is going to be just another piece of the puzzle for Putin. This year, it's not going to be much action because, annexing Ukraine is a big topic already.
Yeah.
And the thing about Putin is that dia akan tunggu on the reaction. Dia dah main chess, kan? Aku dah jalan piece aku, engkau dah jalan piece kau, aku pula tangkap engkau punya queen ke benda ke. Now I wait.
Yeah.
Nak tengok engkau react macam mana. I think that's going to be the move moving forward tu ramalan aku berkenaan dengan konflik ini. Dan
game over for Zelensky?
Hey, game over. Itu memang game over for Zelensky. That's, bro, you can't win against Russia. Napoleon has conquered so many countries. He didn't win in Russia. Hitler conquered so many countries. I mean, goddammit, Hitler conquered France in 2 weeks. He didn't conquer Russia. Tengoklah all these war movies, old war movies, new war movies, enemy at the gates. You can't win against Russia. Simple. The thing is, why were the West provoking Russia for the longest of time? Why?
I have no idea. What was the point? They will become superpower, preventing them from being superpower.
Well, Well, now we see how they are reacting. But the reaction also has to be seen in China and in India. What will these two countries do in the process of them expanding their territories and their boundaries? Because I think that they will now move as well on their targets. Bangladesh is going to be sorely stuck in the middle between China and India. We're looking at the Kashmir region being overwhelmed completely by India soon. Taiwan is the big topic of the day moving forward. These are the big topics. And by the way, so just to tie in to the podcast, so Taiwan is a big player in the semiconductor business. Taiwan Semiconductor, TSMC, is one of the top 10 companies in, biggest companies in the world. Okay, in the world. All right. Everything that we do right now on our telephone, phone, semua guna microchip daripada ini, daripada Taiwan. So if China gets control of Taiwan completely, militarily, diplomatically dan sebagainya, we're going to see everything coming out of China in terms of tech. So that is the obvious implication if China attacks Taiwan. It's so scary, bro. Now is not the time to be funky. Now is the time to just sit down and see where
hunker
all these countries are
hunker
at.
Hunker down.
And remember, we are still not done with the pandemic. Many of us are still positive. I just got baik daripada positive. A colleague of ours positive just last night. We got to know from our WhatsApp group. So, I mean, on top of all this,
we have
all this. The pandemic is still happening. New variants are still popping up. People are still not getting vaccines around the world. Malaysia tinggi vaccination 80%, but the rest of the world, they're not high at all in terms of vaccination rate. So there's so much things going on right now, and global economy is slowing down, and it's just a very, very bad time to live in. Aku tengok again, aku tengok balik movie Age of War tu. One dialogue stood out. We do not choose the times that we live in. What we can do is, what we can choose is the things that we are handed the choices with. So this is very troubling times for the world. The question now is, what can people like you and me do? Do we side with particular people? Do we protect our own periuk nasi and try to run away and protect our family? What do we do? I think everything is unclear right now.
Yeah,
and we need to find more answers to this.
That's a pertinent question. And on that note, we are ending podcast Amaz untuk sesi kali ini. Seperti biasa, we welcome, aku dan Yem welcome any feedback from pendengar-pendengar di sana. Hantarkan ke us@amaz.my. Aku ulang sekali lagi, us@amaz.my. Kita bertemu lagi di sesi akan datang. Sekian saja sesi podcast untuk kali ini.
Pandemic Flea Market yang bakal berlangsung pada awal tahun ini di Sapura Mines menawarkan ruang-ruang booth kepada mereka yang ingin memaparkan produk dan barangan untuk dijual kepada orang ramai. Sekiranya anda berminat untuk menjual produk menarik maupun ingin mendalami idea-idea kreatif usahawan tempatan, daftar di ruangan contact us di sapuraproperty.com.my. Sapura, P-R-O-P-E-R-T-Y.com.my.